Sherry has a coffee cup at home, and on the side of it is the quotation from our scripture reading in Lamentations chapter 3. His mercies are new every morning. And one morning we were having breakfast together, and I'm looking at her coffee cup thinking, I haven't preached on that text. I want to make a sermon on that scripture. So sometime back, I put this lesson together. If you'll keep your Bibles open to Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to use that as our text this morning for our lesson. His mercies are new every morning. I don't know if you have experienced in your life or not, but from time to time, we have difficult and challenging things in our life. And sometimes they're very hurtful, they're very painful. There are people right now, maybe you have family or friends or fellow members of the church. We just announced Brother Ed Brand's wife and the problems that she's going through. As we get older, there's health issues that come up. There are people that we know that are diagnosed with very serious illnesses and diseases. Sherry and I have a close friend, member of the church that we know very well, that was diagnosed with cancer just earlier this year, and a very aggressive one at that. And it's very serious. And it could be a job loss. It could be a very serious illness. It could be a death. It could be it could be a divorce. It could be something with our grown adult children that is a problem or an issue. We face all kinds of problems in life, and they're very serious. I'm not talking about high gas prices. I'm talking about very serious problems. When we left yesterday, it was $3.15 in Clarksville. I noticed it's a little bit higher down here for some reason. But I'm not talking about high gas prices. That's an inconvenience. That's something that we don't like. But we're talking about serious problems in life. But I want to remind us, brethren, that as we go through those kinds of things, I want to remind us of this great passage in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. That even when those things happen in our life, His mercies are new every morning. And I want us to remember that. Because it's easy to get bogged down in those things. It's easy to get negative. It's easy to lose sight of our faith in Christ. And sometimes when you look at something like a job loss or a transfer or some other serious things that challenge our life, sometimes brethren will lose their faith. It was something so difficult that they just stopped reading their Bible, stopped praying, stopped attending worship services, and they just quit. And so we've got to learn how to handle those difficult times. And one thing that we can remember is that even in difficult times, His mercies are new every morning. Let's read our scripture reading again, but I'm going to add to it. Our brother did a great job earlier, but I want to read it again for emphasis, and I want to read past it just a few verses. And those of you who mark in your Bible or who take notes, I want you to count the number of times that Jeremiah uses the word hope. Notice how he uses the word hope in this text. This passage, this book, is written when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem and conquered Jerusalem in 586 BC. Let's just get the setting here. The book is called Lamentations because Jeremiah is lamenting the fall of his beloved city, Jerusalem. In chapter 1, she's described as a woman who is weeping. And in chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, Jerusalem is described in different ways. A man that is in anguish and gold that is tarnished and it's no longer bright anymore. Different figures are used to show how that Jerusalem has fallen in 586 BC. It's a very terrible time, very difficult time. The Babylonians have come, they made a breach in the walls and they broke through the city. If you look back in 2 Kings chapter 25, when the chronicler there is giving an account of that story, he says that the Babylonians came and besieged, they surrounded the city in the ninth year of Zedekiah. And then they finally broke through the wall in the 12th year. In the summertime, about next month, July, is about the time that they broke through the city walls. There was an 18-month siege around the city of Jerusalem. It was very terrible. It was so bad that people were eating their own children. It's a very difficult time. If you look, turn with me to Lamentations chapter 2, Lamentations chapter 2, verse 20. Shall the women eat their fruit, the children that are dandled in the hands? It was so difficult that there was nothing to eat, and some were eating their own children. This is very bad. This is a very difficult time. The city has fallen, it's burned. In 2 Kings 25, it said that the famine and the pestilence was so bad that there was no bread to eat. And they were eating the excrement from the animals and their own children. And it's nothing to eat or drink. It's a very difficult time. And finally, the city falls, and Jeremiah writes this book called Lamentations. And the whole book is very negative. It's very dark because it's a stark picture of God's judgment on his sinful people. They would not quit their idolatry. And in the last few years of the kings there, they would not quit their idolatry. Jeremiah tried to get them to stop that. They wouldn't do it. They just kept it up. And these last five kings are all evil, and Zedekiah is especially evil. And God says, I've had enough. And he brings judgment in the form of Babylon. Well, Jeremiah is lamenting the fall of his beloved city. But right here in the middle, almost in the middle of the book, of this very dark book, it's very bad, there is a bright light of hope that is mentioned. And Jeremiah, God, through Jeremiah, is trying to remind us that no matter how dark the days get, there is a bright light of hope. So Jeremiah had three main messages in his book. Number one, sin is very bad. Sin is a violation of God's law, and it is very bad. Number two, if you don't repent, I'm going to bring judgment on you in the form of the Babylonians. And he did. But number three, there is a bright light of hope if you will keep putting your faith in God and stay faithful to God. So get the picture here. Lamentations. The city has already fallen. So somewhere around 586 or shortly thereafter, Jeremiah writes this book. So I have punished your sin. Sin, coming judgment. But if you will keep your faith in God, there is a hope that will come to you in the future. Not everybody at this time was unfaithful to God. There was a faithful remnant. Jeremiah and others were faithful to God. So during the Babylonian captivity, the faithful need to keep putting their faith in the Lord, and there will be hope. His mercies are new every morning. But not only the faithful, there were wicked Israelites who were taken into Babylonian captivity. Because of the judgment, they could be converted back to God. They could come back to God. In fact, that's what Ezekiel is about. He's trying to get Jews that are already in Babylon, he's trying to get them to stop their idolatry and so forth. So faithful Israelites, they need to keep being faithful to the Lord. Unfaithful Israelites can use this judgment as an opportunity to repent and turn and come back to the Lord. And so this picture of hope is put before them that the fall of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity does not have to be the end of the matter for you. So given that setting, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, almost in the middle of the book, we have this bright picture of hope. If you have time later to just read the five chapters of Lamentations just to refresh your memory, it's a very dark book. But right here in the middle is this bright picture. What is it? Jeremiah says, he writes, Lamentations 3, verse 19, remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood of the gall. That's how bad the situation is. My soul has them still in remembrance and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now keep up with the number of times that Jeremiah uses the word hope. Therefore I have hope. It is of Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Yes, the city has fallen, but we're still a people. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope, number two, in him. Jehovah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should hope, number three, and quietly wait for Jehovah. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silence, because he has laid it upon him. Again, the judgment of the fall of Jerusalem. Let him put his mouth in the dust, if so be there that there may be hope. Number four. Let him give his cheek to him that smites him. Let him be filled with full of reproach. We have to take the judgment that God has given us. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Do you see? Things are very bad in 586 BC, but the Lord will not cast off forever. And so, brethren, right in the middle of this very dark book, Jeremiah writes hope four different times. And the reason for that hope is his mercies, your version might say his loving kindness or his mercies, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's talk about Lamentations 3 and verse 23. Why is it that the Lord's mercies are new every morning? They're new every morning because the Lord is faithful and good. Notice in verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. The word there means trustworthy. You can trust God. And so, yes, you can trust God to judge sin. He's done that. He's done that with Jerusalem. But you can also trust God to save those who put their faith in him. And so because of the Lord's faithfulness and because of his goodness, Jehovah is good, verse 25. Notice the characteristics of the Lord. It reminds me of Paul in Romans 11. Behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. The severity, that would be the fall of Jerusalem. But God is also good. And his mercies are new every morning because God does not change. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, I am the Lord, I change not. And so we can count on God's character and nature to be the same in good times or in bad times. And so when we have the health issue and the cancer and the job loss and the other kinds of things, the marriage problem or whatever the case might be, the infidelity, the other bad situations that go on, God does not change. And we've got to remain faithful to him. And the Lord stays the same. Turn with me to Psalm 30 and verse 5. The Lord stays the same. That's why his mercies are new every morning. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. We live in a world where things change all the time. Men and women change all the time. They're fickle. They're constantly vacillating. They're constantly changing and moving all over the place. We've got to keep in mind that the Lord stays the same. Speaking of the Lord, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So regardless of what is going on in our life, when we experience negative kinds of things, there will be a new morning. There will be a bright day, and we've got to keep being faithful in the Lord. And the Lord stands ready to save and to do justly every morning. Isaiah 33, 2 and Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 5. Every morning. So brethren, we need to remember that when we come through times that are difficult. We may live in a world where things are dull and boring, but the Lord is never dull or boring. He's not mundane. He's not monotonous. His mercies are new every morning. How would you like to have something new every morning? How would you like to have a brand new car every morning? You would never get rid of that new car smell. It would just always be there. A brand new house every morning. Of course, the problem with that is you have to move, I guess. Brand new cell phone, brand new car, brand new house, brand new this or that every morning. What I'm trying to get us to see, brethren, is that when we go through difficult times, the next morning that comes, there will be brand new things. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. God is never dull or boring. The Lord never runs out of resources. You know, we're around situations in life where somebody says, well, we've run out of money. We, you know, at a business or at a job, I'm sorry, we can't do these projects. We just don't have the budget for it. We've run out of money. Or we've run out of food, or we've run out of this, or we've run out of that. We're used to those kinds of things. But the Lord doesn't run out of resources. And we need to remember that. He doesn't run out of things to help us with. They are perpetually fresh every new day. And the Lord is inexhaustible in mind and in heart. Every once in a while, a situation will be presented to me and I'll just say, I just can't think of anything else to do. The Lord's mind is not limited. We are. We reach our limit of what we can think about a certain matter. We've reached our limit as to the kind of help that we can give. Sometimes we'll say, you know, we might have a son or daughter. I'm sorry, I'm just out of ideas. I'm out of resources. I don't know what else to do. But the Lord is never limited in that way. And so when we face difficult situations, if we will stay faithful to Him, His mercies are new each and every day. So let's look at some of those things this morning before we close. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's look at some new things each and every day. And hopefully this morning, it will encourage us to remain faithful to the Lord. No matter what's going on in your life or my life, if we find ourselves facing some difficult thing, remember that tomorrow morning on June the 15th, there will be brand new things from the Lord. And on Tuesday morning the 16th, there will be new things from the Lord. And I'm literally talking about brand new things. Completely new things. That's amazing. So if I'm having a difficult problem today, or I know of someone else who is, and you can help them with this lesson, literally tomorrow morning, you will have at your disposal completely new things. That is amazing. And so this text, in my opinion, does not just need to be on a coffee mug. It needs to be in our life. Because of the ramifications of it. So one thing that comes to my mind is that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, when we come to the throne of grace, we can get help in time of need every time we do that. And it will be new help, not yesterday's help. It'll be new help. And so the Hebrew writer says, because of this great high priest that we have in Jesus Christ, let us draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As the needs change, the mercy changes and the help changes. So if we're having a problem today, we get completely new things tomorrow, Monday morning. When we go to that throne of grace, we get time. We get help in time of need. That's why we need to keep praying. New answers to new prayers. Completely new. And think about that and the encouragement that that should give us. Because we live in a world where people run out of ideas and resources, because we are around people who have limited minds, because we are around the dull and the boring and the mundane, we might put God into that box and we shouldn't do that. So tomorrow morning when we go to God in prayer, we have completely new help in time of need. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Do you know what you have new literally every day, completely new? Is opportunities to do good toward others. People that you talk to, someone at Walmart, someone at school, someone at work, someone in the church, some friend. You literally have new people. As we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, especially toward them that are of the household of the faith. Every day, you literally have an opportunity to do good to someone. Someone in the church, you could call them, text them, visit them, email them. You could literally do that every day and do good to someone. And they don't have to be members of the church. Do good unto all men. And so when we're out and about and running those errands, There are a lot of people in this world. You pass them. The economy is hurting them. They're troubled. They're bothered. They're out of work. They need this. They need that. And we run across all kinds of people, and we have an opportunity to stop and talk with them and try to help them in some kind of way. Those opportunities are new every day. God opens up doors every day. We've got to walk through those doors. He opens up opportunities to share the gospel with others and talk with others and do good to others. Do you know what you have new every day? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. We talked about this morning in our Bible class. Do you know that every day you can gain new knowledge from the Word of God? Literally, something new. You will be reminded of things that you've already known, but you will learn something new. There'll be some word that's new that you've learned. There'll be some concept. There'll be some story. There'll be some principle. And so we add to our faith knowledge. And you can literally learn something new every day if we'll open up our Bible. And that is an amazing thing. You cannot exhaust the knowledge that comes from the Word of God. You cannot completely mine everything out of that gold mine of God's Word. I remember hearing the old timers talk about mining the Scriptures. Mining the Scriptures. Actually, that's not far from the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 8, the proverb writer talks about how that wisdom is like going down into a mine and getting it out of a gold mine. So that's pretty close to what the Bible teaches. The Bible is a gold mine. It's a mine. But you'll never mine it all. You'll never get everything out of it in a lifetime. And so we've got to constantly be reading and learning and studying, and we can learn something new. I guess I got this from my father. Sometimes I'll come in and sit down, you know, breakfast, lunch, supper with Sherry, that we're empty nesters. It's the two of us at home, and I'll say something. Hey, today I was studying such and such, and I learned this. And she sits there and listens to what I've learned that day while studying the Bible. I think I got that from my father. I remember him doing that from time to time. Hey, I was reading such and such verse. Did you know that this word meant this? And did you know that this principle was there and so forth? We can always learn something new. And regardless of our age, we can always be learning something new in the Word of God. And what a great thing that is. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life, even if it's difficult types of things. There will always be new blessings to be thankful for, even if it's just, I'm thankful for another day. I'm thankful for another day. There's always the new blessing of being thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. We have so much in our country. Those of you with children and grandchildren, please teach them and raise them to be grateful and thankful for what they have. We have so much in this country. When I have an opportunity to travel to other places in different parts of the world, I see among our brethren that they just do not have what we have, but they're happy, they love the Lord, they're content, they're joyful, they have a smile on their face. I try to go to Ghana, Africa every other year. They are the most smiling people in the world. They're just always smiling. And they're always soft-spoken and smiling and nice. One time I was over there and I asked the preacher, do y'all ever get mad at each other? Do you ever get upset and get mad? They're just always happy. And they don't have close to what we have. But they love the Lord. They're content. We have so much in our country and in our personal lives. We have so many things to be thankful for. Raise your kids and your grandkids not to be ungrateful and unthankful and always complaining. And I don't have an iPhone 17. All I've got's an iPhone 16. I mean, come on. I need a 17, Mom and Dad. We complain about this and that so much, and we need to be grateful for what we have and appreciative. And every day that goes by, we have new blessings. If nothing else, just life itself and a new day. There's always something new each day to be thankful for. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, I hope that this would be the case with our life, but each new day that comes by, it gives me a chance to live a wiser life. I've learned from past mistakes. I've learned to be better with my tongue, or better with my decisions, or better with how I act with other people. You know, last week I said such and such, and I just shouldn't have said that. I'm not going to do that today. I've learned from that, and it's a new day where I can act wiser. So, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I'm just going to be better at that. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Do you know what you get each day? You literally get a new opportunity to get it right, to do better with my tongue, my actions, my thoughts. And that's a great deal, isn't it? And we're not going to be like the proverb that talks about the dog returning to his vomit, who just goes back and the fool repeating the same old folly. We're not going to do that. We have an opportunity to get it right today. And we can get it right, and we do get it right. And that's a great blessing. His mercies are new every morning. And what an impressive thing that is. So all of these things that we've been talking about, answered prayer and opportunities and knowledge from God's Word, remember that the next time we're going through some dark period where we just want to hang our head low and just give up and quit. His mercies are new every day. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Do you know of anybody who needs to respond to the gospel? Every day is a new invitation to forgiveness and salvation. Do you know that the door of opportunity is open to be saved each and every day? Now, one day it'll be closed, that's true. But today it's open, and Lord willing, if He gives us another day tomorrow, it'll be open tomorrow. We can come and put on Christ in baptism, or as an unfaithful child of God, we can come back. We're very familiar with this. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every day is an opportunity to get an invitation from the Lord to come and respond to the gospel. Is there someone that you've been working on? Do you have a family member? Do you have a friend that still needs to respond to the Word of God? Do you know of a Christian that's fallen away, that needs a visit from you and I, or a phone call, or some encouragement to come back to the Lord? They've let things get in their life, get in the way. Their priorities are messed up. They're good people overall, but their priorities are messed up. And things of the world have gotten a hold of them, and they need to come back to the Lord. Each day is that invitation for forgiveness. And God uses us to talk with them about that kind of thing. And so let's remember that. Here's a new opportunity to come to the waters of baptism, or a new opportunity to come back to the Lord. Maybe you know of someone in that situation. Maybe we're in that situation. And today would be that day to have that new forgiveness in the Lord. Turn with me while we're in 2 Corinthians, just back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at another new thing that we get each and every day. I would love to have, wouldn't you love to have new physical things every day? That would be kind of interesting. Not the old worn out, you know, this or that, brand new. Well, we have those spiritual things in the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Here's something else that is encouraging. And that is, we get new inward renewal every day. If we're praying like we should and studying our Bible and following the Lord, our outward man is decaying. As we get older, our bodies wear out. We all know that. Yet, our inward man is renewed day by day. Paul is talking about himself and the ministry that he had been engaged in with the other apostles. It was very difficult for them. If you back up to verse 8, verse 9, They were forsaken. They were smitten. They went through a very difficult period of time. You recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about being stoned and beaten with rods and shipwrecked. It took a toll on his physical body. He was wearing out. But he says our inward man, which is our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit, it's renewed day by day. And what a great thing that is. A renewed attitude of being faithful to the Lord and loving to serve the Lord. Time does not take that away from us. Time takes away our physical bodies, and gravity takes over. You've heard that. And a few other things. But time does not steal our inward man. It is renewed day by day. And he goes on to talk about how that because of that, we walk by faith and not by sight. And he keeps his eyes on heaven. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, Lord willing, at the end of this week, we'll talk about heaven. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, he talks about that new heavenly body that we're going to get. We can be renewed inwardly day by day. You get up each day with the same aches and pains. And the older I get, the more aches and pains I get. You're going to have the same aches and pains. But your inward man can be renewed day by day. What a great thing that is. And those of us who are trying to serve the Lord, and you've been serving the Lord, and there's brethren here that have been serving the Lord for not just years, but decades, you know that to be true. You know that to be true, that you get up and you have that new inward strength and faith and love for the Lord, and it continues on until the day you pass away. And it's new each and every day. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Each day we have new defenses against the devil. New defenses against the devil. You know, you see the recent war in Iraq. We're using new defenses now that we didn't have in World War II. We didn't have in Desert Storm and Desert Shield and the Vietnam War and the Korean War. We didn't have drones. We have new defenses. Sherry and I and the family were out last year at the Grand Canyon, and we worshiped with the brethren in Las Vegas, and I was talking with a young man after services, a member of the church. I'd just like to find out what people do. If I ask you this week, what's your job? I just like to learn what brethren do. And he said, I sit in a pod all day and I fly drones. So he flies drones for the Air Force. I said, well, you're probably pretty good at video games, aren't you? He said, yeah, I'm pretty good at video games. But he flies those drones. New defenses. And as the enemy gets smarter, you have to have your defenses up. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we've got to put on the whole armor of God. And you know, one thing about the whole armor of God, I think sometimes that gets overlooked, is it's not a one and done. It's not just something you do when you're baptized into Christ. It's each and every day. And when you put these pieces on, starting in verse 14, we know what they are, having your loins girded with truth and so forth, and all of those pieces of armor, you put those on each and every day, you have new defenses. And like the devil with Jesus in the wilderness, each time he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and we do that each and every day. We put up that fight. We put on the whole armor of God. And Paul says that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You do not have to give in. You do not have to cave and give in. And we've got to help our young people and our children to see these kinds of things. There are all kinds of new attacks. We need new defenses for those new attacks. And in the old days, it was the TV. We're far past the TV. I wish it were just the TV. I remember when preachers would stand up and say, now, you got to be careful about that TV. I wish it were just the TV. We're past that, aren't we? With our smartphones and with other things on the internet. So with these new dangers, we need new defenses. I'm not talking about things that are not in the Word of God. I'm talking about the same things that are in the Word of God, but we put them on new each and every day. And we fight against, verse 12, those principalities and powers and world rulers of this darkness, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's take up that whole armor of God and have that new defense each and every day. And then you top it off, verse 18, with prayer. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Every once in a while, I'll be with some brethren who will sit down at a meal and they'll just start eating. They won't pray. They won't give thanks for their food. We need to be a prayerful people, not just for our food, but all throughout the day. And as much as we can, and when we have a moment from time to time to offer up a prayer. So this whole armor of God is topped off in verse 18 with prayer. Praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance. And so we're watchful. Our defenses are up, and they're up every day. And we find that the devil is not able to have his way with us like he is with so many people in the world. Turn with me to Romans 15 and verse 4. We have new power. Just a few more things and then we'll close. We have new power each and every day, either to do something or to gain new comfort, to cope. Do you ever have to cope with things in life? Is there anything at work you have to cope with? Is there anything in the local church or in family? Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Do you need hope to cope? We don't turn to worldly ways and means to handle problems in life. We turn to the Word of God to help us in prayer and being with our brethren. But we need new power to do things, and we need new power and new comfort to cope with things. I hear about members of the church from time to time that are diagnosed with cancer, but their spirits are up, a smile is still on their face, because they're able to cope. Their faith in Christ, their faith in God is helping them to cope. And we need that new each and every day. And we have new reasons to praise the Lord. The Lord gives us so many things in life, and even with negative things, we can praise the Lord, that through Him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, each and every day, that is the fruit of lips which make confession to His name. We have an opportunity to praise God for many things throughout the day. But wait a minute, I just lost my job. Lord, I praise you that I still have my life. There's a lot of people that don't have their life anymore. We have, Clarksville has a military base, and our town is full of soldiers, and those young soldiers think that they're invincible, and so they get on their motorcycles, and they fly through town at very high rates of speed. We average a fatality probably once a month. Just flying through town. They don't have their life anymore, but we do. And so there are all kinds of things. Lord, I lost my job, but we live in a country where there's so many job openings, and we have the ability to move. I'm trying to work with some young people in the Philippines to help them get their education. And one graduated from college last year and still can't find a job. They're in a nation over there where it's difficult to get jobs. But we can find that kind of work, and we can do things even with difficult times in life, and we praise the Lord for that. And then last of all, we have new experiences every day. And Paul talks about how that godliness is not just for the life to come, but for the life that now is. Bodily exercise profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Look at this. having the promise of the life which now is, that's our Christian life today on the 14th, and of that which is to come. We focus on the last part of that verse, that which is to come, which is heaven. But look at the middle part of that verse, the life which now is. Godliness is for the life that now is today. Living the Christian life now is such a great thing. And we've been given today. Well, the Babylonian captivity was a very dark time for Israel. Today we might be experiencing something that's challenging and difficult and negative in your life or mine. And maybe if it's not in our life today, maybe it's in the lives of someone else that you know and you can help them with this lesson. Just remind them, His mercies are new every morning. This is why, number one, we need to become a Christian, and why, number two, we need to stay faithful as a Christian. His mercies are new every morning. I hope that this has encouraged us to stay faithful during difficult times. And as I mentioned earlier, the invitation to be saved is each and every day. And you may need to do that. We're going to stand now and sing this song of encouragement. If you need to come and put on Christ in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. As a child of God, if you've fallen away in some way and you want to come back and we can help you with prayer, we want to encourage you to do that. But whatever's going on in our life, if there's something that's not good, maybe there's some darkness there, some difficulty, some trial, some tribulation, just remember, tomorrow morning, it's all going to be new. If you want to take advantage of that, and what a great thing that'll be. That's why we need to stay faithful to the Lord. If we can help you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?